Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News. I'm Steve Bertrand. We're focusing today on the 6th Congressional District. We'll hear from the two major candidates. The incumbent is Sean Casten, and he joins us now. Congressman, welcome to the Afternoon News.
Thank you. Such a pleasure to be here.
All right, so what is it? Your first-termer beat Peter Roskam in a closely watched race 2 years ago. What is it that you've accomplished in your first term that merits a second term?
Well, look, I decided to get into this line of work because I've spent 20 years working on climate change, and that continues to be a priority. And I just got so frustrated, as I've told people many times, that there are no economic laws that stop us from profitably reducing CO2 emissions. There's no thermodynamic laws, but there's a lot of United States laws that get in the way. And the good news is that there's only one of those you can change.
You come to the Congress with some background in that climate change, correct?
Yeah. I mean, I spent 20 years building a couple different companies and built about 80 projects that all reduce CO2 emissions with 1920s technology, essentially. You know, having got in, we, got appointed to the Select Committee on the Climate Crisis. We played a fairly significant role in a report that's been called the most serious and sophisticated effort to tackle climate change that has ever passed the United States Congress by Vox.com. And now we've got to take that report and turn it into law.
How is your view different from Jeannie Ives?
She doesn't believe it, man. I mean, climate change is real. I mean, there's really no point of comparison. It's not even worth going into it because it's like denying gravity.
She says you want to abolish the Second Amendment, says you haven't distanced yourself from the defund police movement enough. Can you explain your positions on those?
There's a challenge in getting into responding to nonsense. I am deeply troubled by the fact that we have so many gun deaths in this country, and the reason we have so many gun deaths is because we have so many guns. The overwhelming majority of gun deaths in this country are by suicide. And when people like my opponents say that, the guns don't kill people, people kill people, tell that to someone whose loved ones just shot themselves. Really? We don't attempt suicide more often in this country. We're just more successful at it because we give people access to deadly force. The idea that our founders, who we didn't have a standing army, a well-regulated militia was something they thought about a lot. We didn't have a federal income tax. The idea that our founders wanted, people like Kyle Rittenhouse to walk down the streets of Kenosha with an assault rifle and shoot people is offensive. These are talking points when, the comments that are being thrown out. We have to have a serious conversation about the fact that we have too many people dying from guns.
But you don't want to abolish the Second Amendment, or do you?
I think the smartest thing ever written about the Second Amendment was Justice Stevens' dissent in the Heller versus D.C. case. And I would encourage everybody to go out and read it, because he points out that our founders had the choice of giving everybody a gun. That was what the Vermont Constitution, which was written before the U.S. Constitution, said, and they didn't do that. They put that well-regulated militia part in for the reason. It's not abolishing the Second Amendment. It is understanding why our founders put it there.
I want to zero in on this. If you had your way, would the Second Amendment go away altogether?
If I had my way, the Second Amendment would be interpreted as it was originally intended.
And that is how?
That is to understand that our founders did not contemplate that we would ever have a standing army. Our founders had just been involved in a war that we almost lost because people didn't know how to shoot straight and didn't know how to maintain their firearm. It meant something meaningful to them. A well-regulated militia meant something. And they thought it was important that people be in well-regulated militias where they could train, where they could drill, so that in a time of war, we had people who knew how to handle a firearm.
Nancy,
our founders never said, that you need to own an assault rifle to defend yourself. There's no word of self-defense in there.
Nancy Pelosi speaking today, saying that the Democrats will not go along with a broken-up piecemeal sort of stimulus package, to help the airlines or to send checks to regular citizens, things like that. She wants it all in one package. Do you agree with that position?
We have to respond to where the needs are in our society. We passed 4 months ago a bill to wreck because we knew that state and local funding was going to be completely stored. Our police departments, our fire departments, our schools are all hugely strapped for cash right now. If we don't provide funding for state and local municipalities, we're going to have huge problems coming down. Every single state, every single municipality is looking at huge budget shortfalls right now. If we don't make sure that we had funding in there to make sure that we have a safe election, because our democracy depends on having safe elections. If we don't do that, we don't know that we're going to have a safe election. Do we also have an issue with the airlines? You bet we do. And we had that in the package that we did. But taking out things that are only beneficial for Republican donors is not how you do good policy. These things all fit together as part of a coherent whole. we've provided support for businesses to help support employees. It doesn't matter whether you're an employee of a state government or a for-profit company. You're still an employee who's got to put food on the table. We haven't gotten assistance to those people.
The Supreme Court will hold.
We're all one linked economy.
The Supreme Court will hold a hearing on expanding or abolishing, actually, Obamacare shortly after the election. You've said that you want to expand it, fix some holes in it. How would you expand it?
So the goal of the ACA, which I have always shared, was never totally realized. The goal of the ACA was to get to universal coverage. We live in a country right now where some people are eligible for Medicare, some people are eligible for Medicaid, some people have employee-sponsored health care, some people are eligible for the VA system, and some people don't fit any of those distinctions. And the idea of the ACA was to get to universal health care. We got better with the individual mandate. We got better with the exchanges. There's about 23 million people who have health insurance that didn't before, but we still don't have 100% coverage. And we should be expanding to make sure that your access to health care is in no way constrained by your access to wealth. And we should do that because it's the right thing to do morally. We should also do it because every country that has universal health care spends less for higher quality health care than we do.
Jeannie Ives says your position on LGBTQ issues threaten religious freedom. Can you counter that?
Jeannie Ives has described the gay community as a disordered lifestyle. Jeannie Ives voted against banning gay conversion therapy, which is inviting kids to be tortured. I will not be lectured by someone with her values. We cannot conflate people's religion with the hypocrisy to justify homophobia in the name of religion. Religion is too beautiful for that.
Make your closing argument for me. Why should you get a second term and Jeannie Ives be turned out or refused one?
Because the people of this district are pro-science. They're pro-equality. They're pro-decency. They're pro-democracy. I've been outspoken on all of those issues. They're consistent with my values. My opponent has stood up for none of those things.
Do you think Donald Trump has helped you or helped Ives more?
I give Donald Trump credit for one thing. He has inspired people to become civically engaged in ways that they weren't before. We had, these massive marches for women, marches for science, marches for Black Lives Matter. I don't know that that would have happened without Trump reminding people of how important it is to remain civically engaged.
Yeah, I just asked because it's obviously a suburban district. Suburbans are the focus of this presidential election. Congressman Sean Casten, 6th District, first termer. Thanks very much for joining us today. We'll hear from your opponent a little bit later.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGN.